content of this program is intended for blind and print-impaired audience. Hello, this is Jen Rogers from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Catster.com and Dogster Magazine. On today's program, we'll start with an article from Catster.com titled, Eight Signs That Your Cat Has Spring Fever, by Angie Bailey. Spring is in full swing, and we aren't the only ones who are excited. Check out some things our feline friends look forward to when the weather's warm. Birds are chirping, flowers are blooming, and we humans aren't the only ones who are ready to say goodbye to winter weather. Here's how you can tell your cat has come down with a serious case of spring fever. 1. An exciting new season of Bird TV. When spring is in the air, a new cast of avian characters gathers for every cat's favorite reality show. Felines won't want to miss a single moment of the action around bird feeders or drama surrounding the babies popping up in neighborhood nests. What will become of the wee fledglings? Will the baby daddies be revealed? And who keeps dropping poop on the humans' new patio chairs? The answers to these questions and more will be revealed. 2. Sun puddle mania. Sunny spring days mean one thing to cats, sun puddles. The days grow longer and so do the lives of the sunny patches that provide primo napping pleasure for our kitties. Who needs the crowded beaches of spring break when one can worship the sun in the comfort of his own home? 3. Heat of the moment. Springtime often spells L-O-V-E for cats who haven't been spayed or neutered. Females howl away like they're on stage at 2-4-1 night at the local karaoke bar. And the feline fellas line up for dates with these willing ladies. Just say no to bad karaoke, spay and neuter. 5. Rise and shine. Cats can't tell time, but they do know that when daylight peeks through the curtains, it's time for us to haul our lazy butts out of bed and feed them. They don't care if it's an hour or two earlier than at the prescribed mealtime. They just know it's breakfast o'clock and they don't have a snooze button. 4. The zoomies. It's nearly impossible to feel lazy when the glory of springtime is upon us. We humans find ourselves washing windows, organizing junk drawers, and decluttering closets. Cats feel the zing in the air as well, but have no closets to declutter. So what do they do with all that energy? Enter the zoomies. This is the highly technical term for the frenzied running, jumping, and general crazy behavior cats exhibit when stricken with spring fever. No, there's no way to stop the zoomies. We can only hope to contain them, but good luck with that. 6. Smell the magic. What's better than cracking a window on a gorgeous spring day, especially after months of cabin fever? Springtime scents like freshly cut grass, flowers, and barbecues are a feast of fragrances. Cats have many more olfactory receptors than humans do, so their experience is extra feasty. Open a window and just watch them sniff away. 7. My, how you've grown. Growing kitties seem to experience a little spurt during the springtime months. They may like to use this time as an excuse to ask for more treats. Those zoomie sessions burn a lot of energy in these blossoming bodies, after all. 8. Shorter naps. Kidding, napping is still the number one year-round hobby, because cats. Next, we'll move on to an article titled, Do Cats Know Their Names? By Kate Rohan Kelly. Do cats know their names? Is there any way to talk to your cat or any specific names to give your cat to make it easier for him to understand you? Do cats know their names? I think about this a lot as I call my cats' names. Sometimes they seem to respond, turning to me, meowing in my direction, or even full-on prancing toward me for a cuddle or pet. But other times when I call out their names, they ignore me. Well, sometimes I'll give a half-hearted ear swivel in my direction. So, do cats know their names? When my cats ignore me when I call their names, are they ignoring me on purpose? First off, do cats know their names? To get a simple, straightforward answer to do cats know their names, I turn to cat behaviorist Rita Reimers. Yes, cats know their names, especially if they associate their names with something good, Rita confirms. While your cat is learning his name, reinforce with goodies, playtime, and extra affection. So he knows hearing his name means good things. Okay, so if cats know their names, why do they ignore us sometimes? My next question after do cats know their names is naturally, why do my cats ignore me if they do know their names? According to Rita, they might be busy and ignoring us on purpose. We might be using their names negatively. If your cat is deep in dreamland, busy eating or roughhousing with his pals, then he may not come the moment he's called, Rita says. Also, if you are constantly yelling at your cat using his name when you do, no, he won't be coming when you call. However, if he knows hearing his name means good things, he will literally come running. So what can you do if your cat is ignoring you and you need his attention ASAP? Use a little bribery. If your cat is ignoring when you call, open a bag of treats or pull out his favorite toy, Rita suggests. Problem solved. Another question I have after do cats know their name is, can you train your cats to respond better to their names? If so, how? Rita once again mentions using positive reinforcement. Also, if you adopt a cat who is already named, especially if the kitty in question is older and has had that name for a while, you might not want to change his name. Usually if I adopt a cat who's already named, I don't change it, Rita explains. Adding to the name game, another question that follows, do cats know their names, is do cats respond better to certain names over others? Rita advises, cats tend to reply best to shorter names with an E sound at the end. My cats are Gabby and Merritt. Gabby already fits this bill, but I often shorten Merritt to Mimi. I tried this theory out, and she does seem to respond better to the shorter E sounds with her nickname, Mimi. Already have a cat with a long name or thinking of naming a cat with something that doesn't end with the E sound? There are exceptions to every rule, and some cats respond to their longer names just fine. I had a kitty named Tinkerbell, and she knew her name, although at times we shortened it to Tinky, Rita says. Do cats respond better to certain pitches? There's no need to be embarrassed if you baby talk to your cats. In fact, your cat might respond to your baby talk better. Cats tend to respond best to higher-pitched female voices, Rita explains. Their sound range is much broader than us humans, and they are also able to hear the subtlest noises, which suits them well for hunting small prey. Loud, booming voices tend to startle cats and send them running to hide. Perhaps this is a throwback to when cats were hunted by larger animals in the wild. Do cats know your voice? Could your kitty pick out your voice out of a lineup? Rita says yes, and how our cats react to strangers' voices might also have to do with their preference for higher pitches. Your cat can tell your voice apart from other people's voices, Rita explains. I see evidence of this when I have company over. Even if it's just one other female person, some of my shy cats will run and hide the moment they hear her voice. When my handyman Brett or my dad come by, I don't see some of my cats for hours. Although my pumpkin, Bella, and Smokey do like meeting new people and will stay around even when a man is present, the rest of them not so much. Why do cats seem to respond to their names less than dogs do? Of course, this last inquiry that I've been thinking, do cats know their names, is a very feline answer. Cats respond to their names less than dogs do simply because they're cats. Dogs always seem to be ready for action, attention, and playtime, Rita explains. Cats tend to choose their moments. Next, we'll move on to an article titled, A Cat Cafe Bolsters an Ohio City's Economic Revitalization, by Angela Lutz. Sabrina Cox says it's the perfect time to open Gem City Cat Fe in the resurgent downtown Dayton. After suffering a devastating economic downturn, the city of Dayton, Ohio, is experiencing a revival that has brought independently owned shops, restaurants, and businesses back downtown. For Sabrina Cox and her business partner, Karen Goodall Johnson, this renaissance signaled the perfect time to open their own cat cafe. If you want to start a business in Dayton, now is the time to do it, Cox says. We wanted to jump at that chance. For Cox, animal rescue has always been her ideal career path. In college, she founded a group called Safari, students advocating for animal rights intelligently, Miami University's first student advocate organization for animals. She also sat on the board of a no-kill animal shelter, and she has three rescue cats of her own, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, a ragdoll slash Siamese, Odin, a flame point Siamese, and Lucifer, a long-haired kitty. Cox and Goodall Johnson met when they were both worked at the local no-kill animal shelter in development and marketing. While they both love the work helping animals, they wanted to do things their own way and do more to address Dayton's significant community cat problem. At first, they thought securing a rescue partner and hosting pop-up shops at existing cafes was the way to go, but that plan fell through quickly. We started tweeting the local cafes to see if anyone would be interested in doing pop-up shops, and no one really bit, Cox said. We joked about opening our own cat cafe for a little while, and then we just did it. Gem City Catfe has been in the works since November. Cox and Goodell Johnson bought a building in the St. Anne's Hills district of Dayton, and the construction projects are in the works. The pair's Kickstarter campaign has launched, meeting their $20,000 goal in just 3 days. According to the Kickstarter page, the Cat Cafe aims to foster positive interactions between cats and people in an expectation-free environment. Why? Cats are fun. Cats are the rulers of the internet and the lords of their households. We want to bring the awesomeness of cats to everyone in Dayton, while at the same time helping the homeless cats in our community. To accomplish this goal, Gem City Catfe has established a rescue partner, the Humane Society of Greater Dayton, which will keep the lounge well-stocked with adoptable kitties. Cat cafes are popping up across the country, and Gem City Catfe is among those adding to the usual food and adoption components. We'll have a separate event space and focus on trap, neuter, return initiatives. We'll have cats, community, and coffee like all the other catfes, but we'll have our own separate event space, Cox says. We want to be able to keep our cat lounge open and still have programming at the same time. That way we can have a greater impact. The programming will encompass activities such as yoga and Tai Chi with cats, seminars on the benefits of TNR and the harms of declawing, and youth programs and humane education. Cox also plans to host some less common classes and workshops. We'll have different art classes like painting with cats. We had someone reach out to us who wants to teach pet embroidery. We'll have knitting with cats, though with cats in the room, I'm not sure how much knitting will actually get done. Interestingly, Cox isn't the only person opening a cat-centric business in Dayton. Her boyfriend owns Rebel Rebel Tattoo, which is various types of ink but specializes in cat tattoos. He has done more than 40 cat tattoos, and he recently did one on Cox as well. It's so strange that we're dating. We both have this weird cat infatuation, she says. We're both crazy cat people, I guess. Right now, Cox aims for a July opening for Gem City Catfe. In the meantime, she and Goodell Johnson will continue to host pop-up workshops around town, though gathering support for a new independent business in Dayton these days isn't exactly a daunting task. I live in Dayton and I live downtown, Cox says. I'm seeing all of these great new businesses pop up, not chain places, but all of these independent stores. It was the perfect time. If we were going to make this happen, we had to do it now. I always feel like I'm a huge part of my city, and this was really a way to be a huge part of my city. Next, we'll move on to the April-May issue of Dogster magazine, and we'll start with an article titled Foods That Heal by Heather Marcot. Keep these 5 beneficial foods in your pantry to help your pup. Food is a basic need for humans and our dogs, but what it does for us is anything but basic. Food is powerful, especially to our dogs. Food gives our dogs energy, it gives them pleasure, and it gives us a great tool for positive reinforcement. Food can also do a whole lot to increase the overall health and wellness of our pets, says Dr. Jennifer Regis, a holistic veterinarian at the Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Seattle, Washington. According to Dr. Regis, the right foods can help heal our dogs. But when we're using food as a medicine, individual dogs need individual prescriptions, so always chat with your vet about your dog's individual needs. There are some foods, including herbs and spices, that all dog lovers should keep on hand to help heal our best friends. They are, 1. Pumpkin. According to Dr. Regis, pure pumpkin, not pumpkin pie mix, often does what you need it to do. If you've got a dog with diarrhea, it can firm up the stool, but when served to a pet who is constipated, it's going to loosen up the stool. While pumpkin is great for uncomplicated watery diarrhea, Dr. Regis doesn't suggest it for smelly cases or cases where there's blood or mucus. In those cases, it could be a parasite or something else causing a lot of inflammation, so talk to your vet first. Give 1 to 3 tablespoons. 2. Mushrooms. In those extra gross diarrhea cases where pumpkin isn't a good fit, Dr. Regis often reaches for foods that are more energetically cooling from a Chinese medicine perspective, like mushrooms. Mushroom is one that I use a lot for some cases because it's very good at drawing water from the GI tract and helping to solidify it and get it out of the body, she explains. While pet parents can talk to their vet about different kinds of mushrooms, in general, if you're looking to support water balance in the body, the usual offerings in your local supermarket produce section will do, Dr. Regis says. When giving your dog mushrooms, never feed mushrooms from your yard or the woods, as some mushrooms are very toxic. Safe mushrooms are found in your grocery store and include white, portobello, shiitake, and cremini. Serve these mushrooms plain without the fancy sauces we humans add. Only a piece or two at first to make sure there's no food sensitivity, and then feed in moderation. Use medicinal mushrooms like reishi, turkey tail, and lion's mane under the guidance of your holistic veterinarian. 3. Culinary herbs. We may think of herb gardens as being just for us, but Dr. Regis suggests that a sprinkling of herbs can be great for dogs too. If you have your dog on kibble and you want to add a little bit of a nutrient boost, a lot of different culinary herbs have different effects depending on what you want to treat, Dr. Regis explains. Dr. Regis's favorite herbs include parsley, good for itchy dogs with skin issues, mint, good for calming heartburn or ulcers, and rosemary, an anti-inflammatory herb that can be helpful in treating arthritis. 4. Turmeric. According to Dr. Regis, turmeric is another powerful anti-inflammatory and can be great for achy, stiff dogs. But she cautions that this healing food is only appropriate for dogs who do not have digestive issues going on as well. If they also have, you know, say, irritable bowel syndrome and are prone to a lot of inflammation in the gut, they may not be able to tolerate the turmeric quite as well as a dog that has a healthy GI tract, she explains. 5. Cucumber. Unlike turmeric, cucumber is less likely to upset a pup's tummy and can be used to help in cases of stomach upset, even in some cases where pumpkin isn't a good fit. Cucumbers are mostly water, so they're hydrating and can make a good snack for dogs who are at risk of dehydration. Supplemental oils. Coconut oil. This antifungal oil is used by many dog lovers to treat conditions by adding oils or fats to the diet. Despite its internet reputation as a cure for everything, there are times when another fat might be more appropriate, so check with your vet before buying the jumbo-sized jar. Oregano oil. This oil is a little harder to find than coconut oil, but should always be diluted with coconut oil or if another oil if you want to use it. Oregano oil is commonly used to treat skin infections, conditions, and infections. Getting started with healing foods. According to Dr. Regis, dog owners should know that they don't have to start cooking meals from scratch in order to add some holistic healing power to a dog's daily dish. Also know that a holistic vet can help prescribe healing foods that humans of the house have time to prepare. Even if you change just 30% of their current diet, that's going to have a profound impact on the dog's overall health, she explains. Next, we'll move on to a Miss Manners article titled Dealing with Separation Anxiety by Victoria Stillwell. Dogs, like people, have a mutual need to form social attachments. While many dogs don't like being alone, most learn to cope by themselves for short periods of time. Some dogs, however, become very anxious and distressed when left alone, and may bark, whine, pace restlessly, pant excessively, or become very destructive. If your dog shows any of these behaviors just before and after you leave, she might be suffering from what is known as separation anxiety, SA. It's one of the most difficult behavior problems to work with because successful modification relies on you or other family members being present at the times during what can be a long teaching process. SA has many causes, but is believed to be genetics and/or an early history of abandonment, contributes to what quickly becomes a deeply rooted problem that is highly resistant to change. Dogs who suffer with SA usually display anything from minor to major destruction when left alone. The destruction is normally focused on exit points, such as doors and windows, or places and objects that are more intimately associated with a beloved family member, such as shoes, the bed, or the sofa. Chewing relieves stress by releasing endorphins into the dog's body, just as a person might release tension by biting their nails. The most intense time for SA dogs occurs within the first 30 minutes of a person's departure. And in addition to the stress-related behaviors mentioned above, dogs might also drool, vomit, eat through walls, or jump through windows to escape and reestablish contact with their families. These behaviors can also occur when varying levels of intensity until the person returns. Treatment for SA depends on the severity of the disorder and must be tackled on many levels. First and foremost, anxious dogs require appropriate exercise, which helps modulate emotional responses by releasing mood-enhancing chemicals into the body. Boredom and inactivity contributes to SA, but daily exercise along with mental enrichment can enhance your dog's life considerably. Force of habit. Most SA dogs become very aware of their person's departure behavior and normal habitual actions such as putting on a coat or picking up keys, can trigger feelings of anxiety and panic. Masking these triggers by hiding your keys in a different place, using a different bag, and going out through a different door can help. But dogs quickly become wise to alternate departure cues. Now is the time to change your dog's expectations. What door do you normally walk out of when you're leaving for a period of time? Try changing up your departure cues by putting on your coat and go and sit on the sofa instead of walking out the front door. Pick up your keys and go into the kitchen to wash dishes. When you do leave, close the departure door and immediately come back inside. Keep repeating these exercises to vary your departure cues and other behavioral habits. Repeat these exercises over a number of days until your cues and departures no longer trigger a negative response. Time spent away can be gradually increased until your dog is confident that you will return. Easy does it. Make your comings and goings a little less emotional. Dogs are sensitive to changes in the environment, and transitioning from noise and energy when you are present to silence in the home when you leave adds to a dog's panic and feelings of abandonment. Make the transition easier by leaving some lights and a television on before you go, or play some calming music while you are away. Leave your dog with an appropriate activity toy to chew on. If your dog is too anxious to eat or play with a toy when you are away, introduce her favorite toys and/or chews while you're relaxing at home so that you build up a positive emotion around that particular toy. You can use toys only when you have worked to the point where your dog can be alone for about 5 minutes. Separation anxiety is one of the main reasons why dogs are relinquished to shelters every year. Before a treatment can be designed, make sure your dog is truly anxious and not destroying your home or barking because she is bored. Use a webcam to record and monitor her behavior when alone. If you do suspect SA, consult with your veterinarian to make sure there's no medical cause of your dog's behavior, and then contact a certified positive trainer or vet behaviorist to help make a treatment plan. Go to positively.com/trainers to find a trainer in your area to utilize a new and effective way of modifying SA through a virtual consult with a separation anxiety certified professional. Next, we'll move on to the Be For Active article this month, Domestic Violence Pet Lovers Find a Safe Place, by Nancy Hassel. The statistics are staggering when it comes to women living in domestic violence situations, and often those women have kids and pets. Nearly 50% of women stay in scary and abusive living situations because they think have no shelter to go if they have pets, or they fear what would happen to their pets if they did leave them behind. This happens daily across the country. Times are changing with the recent passing of PAWS, Pets and Women's Safety, as part of the Farm Bill in late 2018. What the PAWS Act does is expand on existing federal protections for victims of domestic violence to include their pets and establish federal grant programs to assist victims in finding a shelter that is safe for their animals. There are some truly amazing organizations and shelters now changing the way and paving a new path for anyone literally fleeing for their lives with family pets. Red Rover. In California, the Incredible Red Rover organization offers a few different programs, from disasters or neglect to domestic violence victims seeking safety with their pets to helping animals with life-threatening illnesses. At the end of 2018, the organization announced awarding more than $120,000 in grant funds to 10 domestic violence shelters nationwide. These grants enable the shelters to create on-site and off-site space to house pets through Red Rover's Safe Housing Program, redrover.org. If you are a victim of domestic abuse or a pet owner, please look into these places on the website as there is help. There may even be a local place near you that will help you, your kids, and your pets be safe. Pals Place. One new safe haven is in Brooklyn, New York. In October 2018, the Urban Resource Institute, URI, held the grand opening of Pals Place, the nation's first ever entirely pet-friendly domestic violence shelter of its size, specifically designed for survivors and their pets to live together in the same apartment unit. URI is the largest provider of domestic violence services in the country. Pals Place was conceived and designed with the welfare of pets in mind. The shelter is constructed and outfitted with pet-friendly materials, furniture, and color palettes, plus features a grooming station and an on-site pet haven play area. The shelter will also provide residents with special animal-centric events and programming unlike that of any other URI shelter. You can learn more about this at urinyc.org. The Safe Center. I recently went to the NASA SPCA and Pioneers for Animal Welfare Society, PAWS, meeting to learn about the Safe Center in Nassau County, New York, and how it helps people and their pets. This incredible team of different departments works together to offer help for people and their pets to get out of awful domestic violence situations. The Safe Center will not refuse anyone, no matter what type of pet they have, from horses to cats and dogs, birds, and so on. The Safe Center works with the Nassau County SPCA, so if someone does come to the shelter, let's say with a horse, a placement will be arranged for the horse, while the fleeing family members stay at the center to get back on their feet. They have small animals, they can often stay at the center with their pets. It was very impressive to hear how each agency works together to help people and pets in Nassau County, something I would love to see in every county. Learn more about these services at tscli.org. We'll end up today's program with the WAGS article of this month titled Mission Rabies by Arnold Plotnick, a doctorate of veterinary medicine. With a mortality rate of 99.9%, it's no exaggeration to call rabies the deadliest disease in the world. There's a vaccine to prevent it, and if bitten by a rabid animal, immediate treatment is available. However, if treatment is delayed until clinical signs develop, the disease is fatal. Human cases of rabies are rare in the United States. Sadly, rabies remains a problem in many underdeveloped parts of the world, killing an estimated 60,000 people annually, the majority of which are children under the age of 15. Most cases of rabies occur as a result of a dog bite. Millions of healthy dogs are inhumanely persecuted and killed for fear of this lethal disease, which is little to stop the spread of the virus. Numerous studies have shown that a combination of sterilization and vaccination of dogs in endemic areas is the most effective long-term strategy for controlling rabies. Mission Rabies, founded in 2013, is a charity with an ambitious goal: to eliminate canine rabies once and for all. As a veterinarian who has vaccinated thousands of dogs and cats against rabies, I was naturally drawn to the organization, and in late 2018, I joined its team of motivated volunteers. Approximately 95% of all human cases occur in Asia and Africa. India is especially hard hit, with one-third of all the global human rabies deaths occurring there. In October, we set our sights on Goa, India. Studies have shown that vaccinating 70% of the dogs in a rabies prevalent area controls the disease in both humans and dogs. Our 14-day mission in Goa was simple: vaccinate as many dogs as possible. After meeting my fellow volunteers, the teams were assembled. Each team consisted of a leader, an experienced mission's rabies member, a vaccinator, usually a veterinarian or veterinary student, a data recorder, a painter, the person who marks the dogs usually on the head to show that they've been vaccinated, and 2 to 4 animal handlers. The handlers are local residents experienced in catching the free-roaming strays that populate the area. The mission was a rousing success. During my 2-week stint, the teams collectively vaccinated over 5,000 dogs. Although the days were long, the heat and humidity were oppressive, and the work was physically grueling, the entire experience was exhilarating. Mission Rabies began its Goa campaign in 2013. In 2014, 17 people died from rabies in Goa. No one died in Goa of rabies in 2018. Zero. We are making a difference. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for blind and print-impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.